Move over, Megan the Stallion. Adam the Stallion is the new cowboy in town, riding in on himself.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hampton.
And I'm Madison Malone Kircher. You're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
And this is our first apology video.
This is the Notes app. This is us staring straight at the camera.
We're listening. We're learning.
We're growing.
What we've learned is that you hate the sound of us drinking water. And honestly, I would like to say, I did not suggest...
You're not throwing me under the bus this
early
in the episode.
I'm sorry. I simply must. I did not suggest this stunt. Madison, what would you like to say to our listeners?
I'm sorry. I will be better. I will do better. This is all a lie, because as with all YouTuber apologies, we'll be back at it with some new bullshit in 3 to 6 months.
The bullshit will not be drinking water on camera. This is not an ASMR podcast. But what it is a reality television podcast, because
You're killing me.
Have news for all of you. And it is that Chrishell... from Selling Sunset, Netflix's best reality television show, besides, of course, Love is Blind, is now dating Jason Oppenheim of the Oppenheim Group. Madison, how do you feel?
Is that one of the Property Brothers?
Fuck you for saying that. I'm filing a labor grievance. For the uninformed, Madison, Selling Sunset is a show about selling Los Angeles real estate, Sunset Boulevard. It's fairly self-explanatory.
And yet, you're explaining it to me.
And yet, I am. And Selling Sunset follows the Oppenheim Group, which is run by Jason and Brett Oppenheim, two very short twins who are bald.
They have hair. Fuck. That doesn't hold up.
No, it doesn't.
There's three of them.
For some reason, our producer, Daniel Schrader, thinks that they're hot. I would like to say on mic that that is not true.
We'll see if that gets cut out.
One of the primary... drivers of action on the show is Chrishell, who was married to This Is Us star Justin Hartley, who left her in a very callous way. This was the primary driver of season 3 drama.
Guys,
what is it?
I just got a Google alert from TMZ.
About what?
Justin Hartley files for divorce?
No.
What?
No fucking way.
Guys, it's all over the internet right now.
No way.
Sorry, did you say something?
This is a big deal because this week, Chrishell revealed in the same way that Jennifer Lopez revealed that she is dating Ben Affleck, that Chrishell herself is dating Jason Oppenheim of the Oppenheim Group. If you're not freaking out, I don't know what to do about it. It's truly incredible. It's 100% a PR stunt. Fabulous work on everyone's part. I've never been so proud of someone using an Instagram carousel.
Sorry, I'm awake.
You know what? Just because you can't appreciate American culture or real estate does not mean that no one else can.
For those of you who are like me and perhaps are not sold on Sunset, we do have some other fun things in store for you on the show today. First up, we've got a great conversation with one of our listeners who... like us, fell deep, possibly deeper than us, into the rabbit hole that is the BYU Virginity Club Instagram account. She's an ex-Mormon who's going to walk us through all the reasons why us Nevermos, she'll explain, might have missed a few clues as to why the account is bogus.
After that, we're back with some high-speed downloads. The rapper DaBaby is being da-stupid and da-homophobic, and he simply won't back down. And then... Adam Driver is a horse? Can we break that all down in 60 seconds? Stay tuned to find out.
So a few days after our BYU Virginity Club episode, we got an email from a listener with the subject line, Further BYU Virgin Speculation, which I was intrigued.
Oh, that was an immediate open.
So naturally, we had to call up the listener. Her name is Danny, and just... hear all of her further speculations.
So I was raised Mormon. I am no longer a Mormon. So I haven't been for probably 6 years, I think.
Okay.
But I grew up probably to my early 20s. I was Mormon. Yeah.
When did BYU Virgin the account kind of come across your radar for the first time?
Probably a few weeks ago. And it was just like, I think it was the poop hole loophole thing, which I initially noticed mostly because, like, there are things that people say about Mormons and how they try to get around, like, sex stuff.
In your email to us, you walked through a couple of key reasons you are convinced that the BYU virginity account is not, in fact, run by a Mormon. The first of which is that the account only quotes and mentions the Bible.
Yeah. So, like, Mormons believe in the Bible. I keep saying Mormons because I grew up saying Mormons and they flip back and forth about that kind of thing. But yeah, Mormons believe in the Bible, but they also have, like, the Book of Mormon, which is, like, the new thing that Joseph Smith found and translated. And then they also have a living prophet to, like, give prophecy and, like, give us guidance for our day. And they also have, like, not only the Book of Mormon, but there's also, like, the Doctrine and Covenants, which, like, is the Joseph Smith wrote it when he's, like, writing new doctrine. So they have, like, all of these other books. And basically, there's, like, so much to pull from that someone who is Mormon or grew up Mormon wouldn't really, like, just use the Bible. And, like, if I was going to look up quotes to do, I would, like, go to the LDS website and look at the Gospel Principles Manual where they would give me scriptures from each of the different scriptures and also stuff from, you know, prophets and also things from the For Strength of Youth pamphlet, which was just, like, a list of rules they gave to teens to, you know, keep them on the straight and narrow. So, like, that definitely talks about chastity and, like, how to keep yourself pure, I guess. So, like, Mormon culture is so insular that, like, they love, like, callbacks, right? Like, they love talking about stuff that, like, only concerns them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's your email definitely echoed a lot of feedback we heard from former Mormons and people who were raised in the church about red flags. Another one you pointed out and that other people have pointed out is the way the account talks about alcohol.
Yeah. Another whole thing about it is there's so much stigma around it. And the reason you go to BYU, even if they're speaking to people outside of BYU, is like that insular quality where you just feel the same as everyone else. You know, I grew up in Texas. I did end up going to BYU for a little while. But the whole thing about that is like you go to BYU and there's no drinking anywhere. It's just, like, not a thing. Like, the alcohol, since I moved away from Utah, the alcohol percentage in beer might be the same as everywhere else now. But when I was there, it was, like, half as much as everywhere else, like, the beer that you would buy. And then the only place you can get liquor is in the state liquor store. It's just, like, not a thing. Like, it says, I think there's one that says, like, lay off the booze. And it's just, like, no one is drinking there. BYU kids pride themselves on, like, being able to have fun without alcohol, which just, like, turns into, like, weird scavenger hunts and stuff. But, like, it's, like, you know, yeah. I mean, exactly what you're thinking.
That part doesn't sound so bad.
No. Like, the thing, they're cute and fun. Like, I don't, you know, I grew up Mormon. There are plenty of them that I love. But they do have this weird thing about, like, just, like, they can do it without it. And
so something you mentioned in your email, which is another bit of feedback we got, is the way that the account uses the term born-again virgin and how that just was one of the immediate red flags. Could you talk a little bit more about why that hit you?
Yeah. So, I mean, Latter-day Saints just don't say born again. Like, it's just not, like, not a concept for them. Yeah. I mean, like, it is a concept. They know about it. And they think of, like, born again Christians as, like, a different kind of Christian. And, like, there is, like, you don't want to say it, but there is a little animosity because, like, born again Christians are like, oh, Mormons aren't Christian, and Mormons all the time have to say, no, we are Christian. We believe in Jesus, like, we're Christians. And then, so, like, it's just not a term that's in the lexicon. Is that the word? Yeah,
yeah,
it's just,
totally,
like, not a term that's in that lexicon to be a born-again virgin. And also, I feel like that a lot of religions have these, like, speakers that come and say, this, my life was so bad. I was a drug addict. I was this. I was, like, in sex work. I was, like, doing pornography, and then I found Jesus, and, like, I've been born again, and I'm a new person. Like, Latter-day Saints don't like to talk about their past escapades in that way. Mm. Like, it's just something where once you come and you've, like, prayed and you've taken on the atonement and all your sins have been washed away, then, like, Jesus took care of the atonement. So, like, there's no reason for you to think about those past sins except for you secretly to think about them so you won't do them again. But, like, there isn't that same kind of like talking about past exploits. Like, I kind of even think that if you like had sex before and then had repented of it with like your leader or whatever, if your like future spouse asked you about it, or maybe like some people would tell them, but some people might even be like, well, I was forgiven for that, so I don't really have to talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like this concept is just not something that people really talk about like that, if that makes sense.
Having attended BYU then, because a thing that struck me funny when we talked to BYU Virginity Club was him saying, I'm not out to my friends as a virgin, like I'm embarrassed to tell them.
Also, I haven't come out to some of my friends as a virgin yet, so kind of holding off on that.
That's not a thing, right?
No, that's not a thing at all. That was so wild. That's not a thing at all. Like, basically, the default, because you have to follow the honor code and you specifically do have to get a religious endorsement, like, every semester, which is you going to, like, you go to your bishop and he asks you all these questions where you're like, have you been good? Have you been following the law of chastity? Have you been doing this? Have you been doing that?
Oh my God.
And you answer yes. And you have to get that endorsement to stay at BYU. So basically the default is that everyone is following those rules. So when you're like at BYU in class, there's no reason to come out as anything because like...
You're married or you're a virgin.
Yeah, you're married or you're a virgin. Or, like, if you're not a virgin, then you have, like, you know, repented or whatever and been able to come to BYU. Or you're, like, lying and feel bad about it. You know, not that I would know anything about that, but... like...
yes, Danny, yes.
You know, yeah, it's just, like, it's totally not a thing. It's not a thing.
This is simply incredible. The specific way you talk about the kind of like lexicon of and the way that this guy is just completely not engaging in it at all.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating just because, I mean, I was raised somewhat evangelical. And I think that's what a lot of the people who follow this account are probably coming from, is like the kind of like latent Christianity that just flows through America. And you're like, oh, born again. I recognize these kind of church terms. And then it's like anyone who's actually within that community is like, hold the fuck up.
Yeah.
Something's fishy here.
That would be hold the fudge up, Rachel.
Sorry.
That's true. That's
Sorry.
True.
I must repent.
I know. This is the expertise we needed. We really, we thought we were going to catch him when we were like, where is BYU? Salt Lake City? knowing full well it's in Provo, but BYU Virginity Club sailed right past that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you need a Mormonism expert, literally talking to like... Nevermos is something people say about people who are never Mormon. It's really dumb. I'm sorry, you guys. But like,
Nevermos.
Yeah. So it's like Exmo is ex-Mormon.
Right.
Anyway, it's, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you know, my favorite thing is like explaining weird intricacies of Mormonism to people who, who are Nevermos. So, if you ever need anything, it's my favorite thing to do.
We are out thank and you proud so Nevermos.
Much. Yeah, I was like, thank you so much for enlightening us.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Danny, and for reaching out with your Exmo expertise.
You're very welcome. I'd be happy to help anytime in the future.
We will probably call on you again.
I learned so much in that conversation.
I honestly kind of want another Mormon scandal just so we can have Danny back on the show.
I've been a Nevermo my whole life and never knew there was a term for it.
After the break, we'll be back with some high-speed downloads. We should be extra speedy this week because, as you know, we are well hydrated.
Please know it's taking all of my self-control not to make a slurping noise right now.
The new Star series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Trust me, you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy, as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'm Alex Schwartz.
I'm Nomi Fry.
I'm Vincent Cunningham, and this is Critics at Large, a New Yorker podcast for the culturally curious.
Each week, we're going to talk about a big idea that's showing up across the cultural landscape, and we'll trace it through all the mediums we love: books, movies, television, music, art.
And I always want to talk about celebrity gossip, too.
Of course.
We hope you'll join us for new episodes each Thursday. Follow Critics at Large today, wherever you get podcasts.
We are back with some high-speed downloads. In case you're new to the show, or maybe you just need a refresher, High Speed Download is a game Rachel and I play where we get 60 seconds to explain a piece of internet ephemera to each other and to you. Could be a meme, a controversy, a YouTube apology video. Warning, if you don't like listening to people talk really, really fast, perhaps set your podcast playback speed to 0.8x speed. Don't do 0.5x speed. We will sound drunk.
Unless you want to hear us sound drunk, in which case, perhaps do 0.25x speed and see what that sounds like.
I see why am I after dark. That's a Slate Plus only thing.
Subscribe to Slate Plus.
So, Rachel, what are you tackling first?
I am tackling the recent controversy embroiling none other than the rapper DaBaby. I'm exhausted already.
Okay. You warmed up? You limber?
I'm limber. I'm sprightly.
Alrighty. Rachel, you have 60 seconds on the clock.
Oh, God.
On your mark, get set, go.
Okay, DaBaby, rapper who's perhaps best known for his remix of the Dua Lipa tape Levitating, was performing at the Super Spreader event Rolling Loud Music Festival in Miami this weekend, which is bad enough, but it gets worse. He does a completely unprompted rant that is extremely homophobic and misogynistic. He asks his fans to shine their cell phone lights if they, quote, didn't show up today with HIV, AIDS, or any of them deadly sexually transmitted diseases that'll make you die. He also said, fellas, if you ain't sucked somebody's dick in the parking lot, put your cell phone light up. He also said, if your pussy smell like water, put your cell phone light up. Sir, why are you thinking about people sucking dicks? What's going on here? Perhaps you should think more. He was immediately dragged for spreading HIV misinformation, which, by the way, not that sentence, completely manageable antiretrovirals, undetectable and transmissible. You know what kills people? HIV, stigma, Dua Lipa. Is like, you know what? This is the person I recorded with I Stand With My LGBT Fans. Elton John gets in on this with a lovely thread about HIV misinformation, as to Jonathan Van Ness.
10 seconds.
The concert's on Sunday. DaBaby's dragged to high heavens. He then apologizes for the crazy Instagram live where he says the media twists his words. And he's like, you know what? My gay fans don't got fucking AIDS. They don't got AIDS. And I was like, sir, that's not the apology you think it is.
That was a lot.
It was.
I feel like there's more to the story yet to come.
The thing is, I actually got through most of it.
Okay.
I would just like to say that both of these apologies are incredibly bad. Both that he was like, oh, the reason people are upset is because I suggested my fans have HIV, rather than the suggestion that HIV is a death sentence and dirty. I just want to double down on the fact that HIV is not a death sentence. Stigma kills. Antiretrovirals are incredible. And then in his second apology, he says, anybody who done ever been affected by AIDS / HIV, y'all got the right to be upset. And then follows up with, and for any brands, networks, or artists select to profit off of Black rappers' influence on the culture without understanding it or having the patience to deal with what comes with the position we play in our culture, keep your money next time. What does that mean? Unclear.
Are the brands and networks and artists reacting?
Yeah, brands have dropped him. Boohoo Men has dropped him.
I didn't know they had a men's line.
They do have a men's line. Everyone is just fully kind of standing back and saying, you know what? I'm not going to be involved with this. Unfortunately, the final turn of this is that Chris Brown puts out a statement that makes sense.
Oh, no.
I know. I know. He says, shut the fuck up. Do your shows. Thank everybody. Get off the stage. And I think when Chris Brown starts making sense, we all need to take a step back. And perhaps not. That's my final statement. Also, DaBaby put out a music video recently that mentioned AIDS. So, like, I really don't know what's going on with him. Canceled. That's really it. That's really the end.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I'm cutting you off either way. Much like DaBaby should be.
All right. Well, I'm out of breath. Kind of have a little bit of a headache from yelling. What have you got for me, Madison?
Adam Driver is a horse.
Oh, my God. I don't even know what that means.
But soon you will.
Soon I will. I think I kind of prefer my current state. But you know what? That's not the point of this show.
No.
Madison, are you ready?
I'm ready to trot, to canter, to do whatever that little horsey dance they do in the Olympics is.
Oh my God, that's so fun, yes.
Dressage.
Yeah, that's how it's pronounced?
Yeah.
Wow, my whole life I thought it was dressage. Anyway, well, I'm learning things, gonna learn some more things. Madison, you have 60 seconds on the clock. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, Adam Driver, maybe you know him as like the boyfriend from Girls or the moody guy who's shirtless in Star Wars, or you know him from Marriage Story where he's like, I wake up every day when I wish that you were dead. Or from that play on Broadway, which I think was mostly just an exercise in showing how large he is by having him stand next to Carrie Russell for 2 hours. Anyway, he's a large, 6'2", ex-military man. He notoriously hates to listen to the sound of his own voice, like just go ask NPR. I don't know what to tell you, but he is a horse now. He was always kind of a horse, but like now he's actually an immense quadruped. Here's the deal. He's the new face and, frankly, body. We're not in it for the face. Of a Burberry fragrance called Hero. The ad in question starts off with a shirtless driver riding a horse down the beach. Pretty standard cologne ad shit. But then he and the horse start swimming around together and they're all like intertwined and woo, woo, woo. And move over Daniel Radcliffe and Equus. Yeah, that's the play where Harry Potter fucks a horse. Driver becomes one with the horse at this point. He becomes the horse. Technically, I think he's a centaur because he still has a human upper body. The end of the ad is just like this misty shadow of Adam Driver centaur. Anyway, me, the internet, we're feeling some kind of weird shit. Heterosexuality
done.
Made some points. Bestiality made
no,
some.
No, no, you're done. You're done. It's over. No. No.
This thing has some real Zoolander merman energy.
God, I'm sorry. I'm still thinking about the fact that you said bestiality made some. Do you have, okay, you have one more sentence left to fucking traumatize me.
Let's let Adam take it.
Oh, God.
Burberry Hero, the new fragrance for men.
I don't know. I think I understand why he hates his voice. I kind of do, too.
And on that note, Rachel's going to ride Adam Driver back to the stables, and that's the show.
I will be doing no such thing.
Giddy up.
All right, that's the show. We will be back in your feeds on Wednesday, so definitely subscribe for the premium horse content.
Nay!
You'll never miss a Madison nay. Please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at @icymi_pod, which is where you get our premium tweets and also where you can DM us your questions like, what's going on with my TikTok algorithm? Or please stop making slurping sounds on the mic. You can also always drop us a note at icymi@slate.com. Who knows? We might have you on the show.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader. Our supervising producer is Derek John. Forrest Wickman and Allegra Frank are our editors, and Gabe Roth is editorial director of audio. See you online.
Or in the barn. Get ready. Set. Go. Now.
What the fuck kind of countdown is that?